Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight, am I amped. I'm excited. Another topic of what I'd like to explore, because it's like outside the box thinking, but it applies to what we're trying to do right here at Hip Hop National Radio. But before we get started, I'd like to go ahead and go to the throne. Lord, let us pray today for a better tomorrow. For time is passing between the minutes and hours. Life on earth may be short. So listen, God's children, and give this some thought. Today we live, tomorrow's not promised. So let's take the practice, God's word upon us, and use it as a daily digestion for the hope and only protection. So together today, if we may, let's take a moment out to our knees to pray that God will make tomorrow a much better day. Amen. Well, guys, tonight we're going to talk about the dream in your obligation. Weighing out the two, which one comes first, what, the chicken or the egg, one might say. The dream is what we all look at, the very big picture of what we want to do and what's a part of our heart's desire. But the obligation is life, the things that happens all in between that we have to take care of in order to fulfill the big dream. And then if we, once the dream is fulfilled, then we can take care of the obligation. Isn't it funny how it all works together? Tonight, that's what we're going to dig into. On deck with me, I got Jametti, I got Raw Dog. I'm going to go to ladies first. Jametti, welcome to the show. What are you calling in from, Jametti?
Yes.
Yes? Where are you calling in from, Jametti?
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
All right. And Jametti, tell us some of the things that you do right now to fulfill the dream and the obligation. And what is the dream for you?
Well, like you say, there's a balance between everything. My first obligation and my first dream is to be what God wants me to be. Secondly, I have to ensure that my family is taken care of, but my dream is to somewhat bring healing to a nation that's hurting through business development and ownership.
Awesome. So what's your thoughts about entirely how people should start to focus and chime in on their dream and never neglecting their obligation? I'm talking about family, I'm talking about spiritual, I'm talking about business, I'm talking about the legal things, all the things in between.
Well, just as your show description stated, you have to have a balance between everything. There's time management and everything that we do in life. And most people need to begin to view life like a project. And as an experienced project manager, you always have to consider what can happen in addition to the project in which you're working on. So people need to start creating a contingency for life, especially when they're working on a life project. If you don't have those contingencies when things happen in the family, around the family, or need to be done for the family, that's where you fall short and your whole project crumbles, meaning life.
All right. Let's get Raw Dog take. Raw Dog. What are you calling in for, Raw Dog?
I'm calling in from Washington State, and I'm happy to be on the panel tonight. And hello, Jametti. And
hello.
Hey, I heard what you had to say, and I can tell you're young, just like Poetic. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Yeah, I think this is going to be a real good discussion. You know me, I just lay back in the cut. What do I think? Well, there's a lot to be said, but I'm trying to see. And if the young folks have a grasp of the total thing, you know, because I heard about the world, I heard about the chicken and the egg, and then I had a question, which came first? Was it Earth or was it God? And then I realized it was God, you know, because without heaven and earth, you know, hey, we wouldn't be here. So, you know, the point of the matter is that dreams had a lot in my lifetime. You know, dreams can be inspiring, and they can turn into nightmares. And then you talk about obligations. And when is obligations actually the word you really want to use, or you want to say life survival and living? You know, we take him, we throw.
I want to use obligations because it's easier. No.
Yeah, well, most people take the easy way out. And we know who we're talking to. Most people take the easy way out. Because that fits you. You know why? Say that because you're young. But no, because you're young, okay? But see, the dream and the life that you're going to live, you know, there's where, you know, when you say obligations, you know, fame and the spotlight, that's not really life. That's just an experience. That's only a minute in time. You can have that spotlight and you can have that fame and life still goes on. You know, Michael Jackson had that, but he didn't have freedom. Life, that means going home. That means being able to walk among the people. That means, you know, eating good. That means a roof over your head. That means meeting your monthly obligations for the water to be on, for the electricity to be on, you know. That doesn't mean that the car that you have is the Bentley. That means you have transportation or you have a bus pass. But, you know, you're able to walk with a smile because, you see, you're meeting your responsibilities so that your life will go on, you know. We talk about dreams when, you know, specifically with the music industry. You know, a lot of young people, when they start out, they have a dream of being on stage and in that spotlight. But the thought is that how long do you want that spotlight to be on you? You know, let's go to some icons. Elvis, for example.
Hey, Elvis, go ahead and speak.
Well, Elvis.
He didn't speak right up. Domestic.
You know what? I love that. But I had a name for you that I can't say over the radio. But you in good fit today, and I'm happy to see that you're a happy guy today. Now, lift your feet and spin in the chair, because, you know, with 4'5", you can do that. Anyway.
Man, you always giving me a hard time, man. What's up, man?
It ain't nothing but love. It ain't nothing but love. But no, you know what? No, let's take Elvis. Let's not look at Michael Jackson. Let's just look at Elvis. Elvis Presley was one of the biggest stars to rise in the American music history. He was an icon before Michael came along. But he had an unhappy life because he didn't know who was really there for him. Okay, and he turned to drugs and what have you. But now we got to admit, he was rich and he was famous. But he had to carry guns on him and with him when he traveled because he didn't know who was going to try to rob him, take advantage of him, and what have you. And so he lived a life really without real people around him because he didn't know who was going to be there because they were a friend, not because he was famous. And he got into drugs. Let's talk about the drugs. Let's talk about how maybe he wanted to give up, but the people wouldn't let him. You know, that's the same thing with Michael Jackson. You know, he had children. And how do both of those lives come together with all the same problems? Do you know what Elvis died of?
No.
Overdosing on prescription medication.
Yeah.
How did Michael Jackson die?
They said the same thing, brother.
So does
okay,
that
now in what you're saying, okay. You're saying that they were overwhelmed about the fame and all of that. I mean, tie that into the dream versus the obligation.
Well, okay. But see,
give me a quick tie-in. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, the tie-in is this. The money bought people that would give him what he asked for. Somebody should have told him no. They should have told Elvis no on the prescription drugs, but he was paying a premium cost. Someone should have told Michael Jackson no. This will kill you. And it did. It killed both of them. So, you know, when we start being out there and following a dream and forgetting about your purpose on earth other than that spotlight and what have you, being a father, being a human being, when do you get to level out and become what God put you here for? Other than what the people are pushing you to do. You see, those were two successful guys that did it, okay? But then there's the other side of the coin.
But can I ask you something? And Jametti, I want to see if you're on deck here.
Okay.
Do you think did it, Raw Dog? They pushed it because the people wanted them to do it or because they felt that this is what they wanted to do in the beginning. And then it came to a point where now the fans want is demanding it. Do you think it was something that a personal desire that Elvis decided, hey, I want to be an entertainer? I mean, with that much talent that they had, most would say, who don't want to be that star if it's going to change my life? Now, what came after as a consequence, because of all of the fame, maybe they just couldn't handle it anymore, and they got to the point that they were being propelled because of the momentum and the movement that was created, and the obligation of the contract. Yes, no. I'm going to go to you, Jeanette. What's your thought?
Okay, I believe. Initially, the dream was in play, as you stated, but at some point it did begin to become an obligation. I believe they felt that they had to do certain things to appeal or to hold the interest of people, which also goes to what you mentioned in the descriptive about time management, as well as the topic or the what Raw Dog was saying, and that they died from overdose of prescription medication because they had to try to sustain after getting to a certain point. Because of time management, you can't add more hours to the day, so they had to figure out something, you know, that would allow them to keep going. So, yeah, that their dreams, I think, became obligations, or what they felt were obligations.
You could tell you guys are young.
Oh, so they just did. Okay, let's see. Okay, we young, so.
No, you're just young.
Sister of wisdom.
Okay, I want both of you to take your finger and wipe behind your ears.
Take your wisdom point.
Because you're still wet. Let me tell you what it was.
Yeah,
let me tell you what it was. No, wait a minute now. Let me tell you what it was. It was a falseness of life. And the standards that they were living, they had to go back to work. Because remember, Michael Jackson's Never Never Land was being foreclosed on behind the lawsuits or whatever. Elvis had the same issues. You develop a lifestyle that takes maintenance. You can't have monkeys and animals running around without somebody cleaning up their what? Okay. So therefore, they had to go back to work. But the money was offered at such a rate, they couldn't turn it down. Could you see Michael Jackson flipping burgers at Burger King? No. Could he have kept his estate at Never Never Land? No. What about Elvis and his estate down in Graceland in Nashville, Tennessee? Isn't that where it's at? Okay, there's an overhead. You get to a certain age, and believe this, I'm at that age. You can't go on the road and tour because your body's not going to allow you to do it. You can think you can stay in shape. You can think you'll be able to do that. But remember, these guys were extraordinary entertainers. They gave 150% every performance. I remember seeing Elvis and sweat coming down his back and all of this and the hot lights and what have you. And he would be on tour. We're not talking about just a one-night engagement. We're talking about tour, traveling, hotel food, bumpy rides. You know, your sleep being broken. You're not at home in your own bed. And at a certain age, it's just not going to be what you can do without drugs. Believe me, I gave up being a musician, trying to be out there. That is the issue that you'll see that a lot of male entertainers are dealing with trying to be on the top. Remember, James Brown went through that same thing.
You gave up on being a musician?
Listen to me. When we talk about the live performances and all of that on the road and what have you, I put that to a rest behind an encouragement from my father. Because he told me a golden rule. You got to have a plan to fall back on. See, we talk about dreams and we talk about obligations, or we talk about, you said obligations, but life, living life.
Responsibilities, which is your life.
Say that again?
It's your responsibilities, your life. Life happens. It really does. In fact, I wanted to talk about family. I'm talking about when the kids come or when you got a spouse that's totally 100% going the opposite way in which your dream is headed. How do you work around it? How do you make it work? To fulfill the dream, to fulfill the obligation.
You have to have a balance. I mean, and that's essentially, Raw Dog, what I'm getting from what you're saying is there was no real balance.
Well, yes, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that sometime you just want to go home. See, a dream is just that. But home is where your responsibilities and your life is at. You know, I've always told young musicians, you know, you might get a career out here, but you're going to have to figure out going home once you have played that event, been on that tour, and what have you. And home has got to be a stable place, not for just a month, but let's just say for years. And so what happens is that, and I'm noticing this, I saw an article on one of the Williams tennis players, I think it was Serena, and it was talking about her modest dwelling. And as many tournaments and as much money as she's won, she can always turn around and look and say, oh, I quit. And she can go home, and her refrigerator is going to be filled, and she'll be able to meet her obligations and what have you, because she, there is life. It's not, I got to keep up this to keep my overhead, you know, because remember, now, you guys are old enough to know that you can buy a house, but you're always going to pay property taxes on that house. And you know that they go up because of inflation. They're reevaluated, and the value goes up, and so do the taxes. And so does food, and so does gas. And so what happens is that no matter what level you're on, if you were on an Elvis or a Michael Jackson, and you're already paying an extreme amount for your estates, and taxes go up. We don't know what Michael's overhead on his estate was per month. That was never disclosed. But then when you think about the revenue and you say, okay, he made money, but he also paid taxes on that money, and then he had to go home. We all got to go home. And so I guess what I'm saying is that a dream is one part of what you get in your head, but the point that you should – that should share that life, the reality of life. See, you know, I hear you and I understand, but see, dreams can be nightmares.
Wait. You know, stay there. What's your thoughts about what you said so far before this man switched gears on me?
Okay, say again.
I said, what are your thoughts on what he's saying so far about life and how it changes sometimes the paradigm of things?
My opinion of that is it's just more so, again, it goes back to planning. When you have a dream, you don't just jump into something and just say, okay, I'm going to make this happen without thinking of all of the things that could happen. You know, that's poor planning. Like everything else in life, I mean, work. You're not just going to go out and get a job and not be prepared to do the job that someone asks you to do, are you? It could be your dream job, but again, it could turn into a nightmare because you're not prepared. You're not, if you're a single parent, are you going to go out, get a job that requires you to work 12 hours a day knowing you have a daycare services for 6 hours? Entertainers, people just don't prepare properly. It all comes back to time management, balance in life. Irrespective of what the dream is or what the dream was, you can make it work if you plan properly. I mean,
Jeanette,
you have a lot of entertainers out there who do it.
Jeanette, he doesn't understand. You know why? Do you know why, Jeanette?
Why?
Because he's a male. Females have a different understanding of life, and males learn about it later on.
One thing I like.
You ever notice that?
You know what? I bet.
One thing I like what you. I like what.
Wait a minute. Let her answer that, Poet. Let her answer that. Go ahead, Jeanette.
I beg to differ because I'm the product of a single father. And everything I learned about planning, I learned from the men and my father. The men in my family and my father.
I got a question. I got a question for you.
Yes.
He was a father, and he taught it to you, right?
Yes.
But before he was a father, did he think the same way?
I have to say yes. And maybe it's on a per-case basis. But I have
okay,
to
I
say
got
yes.
a question for you. I got another one for you.
Yes.
Wait.
Did
Before
you ever
you go,
ask him that?
Okay. Right on. I beg to differ with what you're saying, too. Okay.
Well, hey, guess what?
You say, wait. I'm begging
no,
to
no,
differ.
No. And I can be wrong.
Okay, you know what, Raw Dog, let me say this. I have a 19-year-old son on full scholarship. Who knows what he wants to do in life. He knows his dream. But the school who scholarshiped him doesn't have his program. This is a 19-year-old who came to me and said, Mom, I know what my dream is, and this school is not going to give it to me. After this semester, I found a school, and I can get the funding to take care of it and my future son. So I will say responsibility is something that comes, as far as of you, male or female. It can come young. It can come when you're older. It's an it's the individual. I don't believe it has to do with gender, and I don't believe it has to do with age. But to have someone already map out their future, exactly how far they have to go to get things done, that's just called responsibility. That's something either somebody teaches you or you look at other people and realize, hey, I've watched this person make a mistake. I don't want to make those same mistakes. So I'm going to plan this the right way. So it's all about planning. It's all about having those, creating a surefire plan and, or well, nothing's promised, but creating a plan and making sure you have benchmarks or milestones, and you reach those. Once you reach one, you move to the next one. Your dream, you know, doesn't have to become, you know, a burden or a nightmare. And I just don't believe that it depends on the sex. I don't believe it's gender or age that determines that. It's the individual.
Well, I can tell
I wish we weren't on the radio right now, because I would ask questions, and I think you might change what you just said.
I'll say
those questions
I'll tell you like this. Everything don't turn out as perfect as planned. However, you have a plan in place, because don't get me wrong, brother, I can show you my business plan, and I can show you the things that I've done to the business plan and the things that I haven't done.
And oh, I didn't
all of it
say. Is,
listen to me. Wait. You said I'm a male and we don't plan. Okay, I'll show you the business plan. In fact, I'm going to show you because you need
to. Did you say that you don't play?
Plan. You said
men
don't plan.
I said you don't play. I said
I don't get me wrong. I got plans this year to take Hip Hop National a totally different direction, definitely from last year. And I've been putting that plan in place, and I've been working at it, and I've been making people get involved with it, so it can happen. But hey, everything you plan, and you don't like to say some things you fail at. Okay, well, we posted something on the wall today earlier, right, Jeanette? What was that? Let's find that.
Oh, so you guys have been working behind the scenes to throw Raw Dog under the bus. It ain't working. I will tell you two right now. It ain't working.
We wouldn't do that, Raw Dog. We ain't like that. We ain't like you.
All right. Let me pull the rug from the both of you. I picked up on the momentum, and I was just sitting back in the cut and going, this doesn't sound right.
We didn't communicate before the show.
Okay, listen to me. You see the person you're standing next to, and he twisted it up so it looked like it was a combined effort. Okay? But I will be gentle on you.
I swear you are great to me because I swear you think I got it for you.
Well, but listen to me. Now listen to this one.
It was a post that Jemetti had posted on her wall. And then I said, wow, that's a pretty good one. And then I think I did it.
I've said it.
Oh, you know what, Jemetti? It wasn't you. It's a girl named The girl, it says, maybe it was you. Did you do this one? It says, winners are not people who never fail.
No, I did not put two posts.
But people who never quit. Because there.
She said she didn't say it.
Okay,
she's letting you drown on your own.
Rodolph, this is, don't get me wrong, I'm talking about billionaires. I'm talking about Donald Trump didn't even make this statement. These people then made statement about, yeah, you fall. If you fall, you get up.
Wait a minute. My daddy said that, and he wasn't a billionaire. So using Donald Trump, that's a poor example. Let's just talk about ordinary
people
rather than somebody that you don't know who he robbed or who he had thrown off a bridge. You don't know who he robbed or who he threw off a bridge. Or really how he made his money. You just know he got money. Let's talk about the average individual that, let's talk about your dad. Let's talk about my dad. Let's not use Donald Trump as an icon because he's a false idol.
I watched my dad. Okay, now, cool. I'm glad you said that. Watch that. My dad, all his life, was into CB radios, and he was into all of the, he was more into the inside of what was taking place than just the use of it. He tried years and years and years, and he came up with different solutions on how to make the bandwidth a lot further and wider. In fact, when we were young, they had helicopters fly all over our house and told him he's interfering with the FCC communication.
They might be looking for him. You better quit.
No. They ain't looking for him. They stopped him. They snuffed him to doing that. Because then he had to find other channels to do it. Because it was a whole crew of people who was into CBs.
Right.
And the thing was being the biggest and the baddest out there. My dad was very good at conforming the communication and the bandwidth, and expanding it, and bleeding over all the stations he wanted to.
You know what he did?
What?
He put it in his antenna lead in water.
I don't know what he did.
He hooked it to the pipe.
All I know is Pop was, he went out there every day. If one thing didn't work, he tried something else.
Yeah, but you know what? There goes. Now, you're talking about a person that life, he raised his family. You know, see, we talk about obligations and responsibilities and what have you, and dreams. And what you have to realize is he's a great man. He was a father. He was a husband. He is a father. He is a husband. So when we start to talk about the point of what dreams and obligations, he's had a beautiful life. Look, he's got a son that's on the radio. He's got other sons that are doing things in this world. And, you know, he's one of the richest men walking the face of the earth. You know, gold and money and all that, that's not what you go for. It's the love. It's the appreciation. It's watching your seeds grow. It's being able to go down the street with a smile of accomplishment. You know, see, there, when you start to talking about a man that is a man among men, there's your example. Donald Trump, pardon expression, is not really a man that I would idolize.
No.
He's more of a false idol.
Don't get me wrong. I was just giving an example of...
Yeah, but see, those examples are the
same thing
young people dream about being a Donald Trump.
Don't take everything that I'm saying.
But see, guess what? I'm giving it back to you because the young people take their medicine and they call it, oh, okay, I'd like to be like Donald Trump. I want to be like such and such and such and such. I want to be like, well, guess what? Being like your father or my father, hey, that's all I want to be a good man just like them. I want to be the man, the father, the provider. You got a roof, you can always come over. Hey, Sunday dinners. Hey, he's at the table. What does he do? He blesses the table. He blesses, he brings you to God. He's a man among men, and that's all we all want to be. So now, are we back down to earth?
Thanks for bringing us back down to earth, man. It was quite a journey. I mean, golly, dude, I really had fun up there for a moment until you brought me back down. You know what I mean?
We're
kind
of trying to touch the little people. We're not trying to.
All right, guys. This is how we get down right here at Hip Hop National. Sometimes we have a nice conversation going, and then sometimes Raw Dogg loves to throw a brick in the road for me. See how I handle that obstacle. That's okay, buddy. The dream versus the obligation. That's what we're talking about tonight. Y'all call in Y'all call in 213-559-2995. Press the number 1. That'll allow us to know that you want to participate in tonight's topic. Again, the dream versus the obligation. And we'll talk about your obligation. How do you deal with it? When we come back, I wanna twist it up just a little bit because I wanna go into the business. We have the dream of being in this business of entertainment, correct? I think we kind of right now we're all in some sort of connection of wanting to explore our dreams, our vision, making them happen. But like we said, life happens. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of those things in life and how do we handle it and what are our social responsibility in handling it. We'll be back in just a moment. Y'all stay with us. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
Already Gear is ready to handle all of your promotional needs. If you are ready to see your name in lights, that's what we do. We bring your vision to life. We custom imprint t-shirts for churches, schools, family reunions, graduations, and teams. In fact, any and all kinds. We can actually create whatever you have in mind. We have great specials and discount rates just for you. We're Already Gear, where your image matters. Please call us at 214-333-0180. That's 214-333-0180 and ask for Diane. We're always giving you valuable information on time. This is the Hip Hop National Radio conference call and feedback line.
Gospel, hip hop, pop, R&B, calling all genres of music. Hip Hop National Radio is ready to give you the chance of a lifetime with our Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Hip Hop National Radio, in conjunction with Poetic Inc., is gearing up for a promotional campaign that will sweep the nation. Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Yes,
Hip Hop National is taking your music to the streets in all the major cities across America. Wait, there's more. Flyers on Fire campaign will go viral as well, attacking all the major social networks, Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and more. The Flyers on Fire campaign is designed for you, the artist, to hit many major markets to promote your music at the fraction of the cost. Hip Hop National Radio is all about teaching you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. Our mission is to assist you in spreading the good news about your music while making a profit. Get in now. Log on to HipHopNationalRadio.com. Remember, promotions are the key to making your project a success. Hip Hop National Radio has the network to take your project to the next level. Our packages start at $85. Call 954-461-3398. That's 954-461-3398 for more details.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy, Poetic. Tonight we're talking about the dream versus the obligation. Before we went to the break, I said that I wanted to talk about the business, going into business for yourself, okay, no matter what it is. When you're going into this business for yourself, my big question is it your obligation to sit down with your family and discuss it? Or do you take the investment and say, I'm going to do it anyway because this is best for my family? And I'm going to put all I can, all I want, all I need to make this happen so I can take care of family. Where do we start? I'm going to go to you, Jametti, because you was talking about time management. And I think this falls in that category. Go for it.
Well, for me, I had to sit with my family. I had to sit with my family, first of all, because if I were leaving corporate America deciding to do something on my own, it meant that we were going to have to cut back as a whole for me to be able to make the business itself work, because finances that would have otherwise gone into the house had to go outside into my organization. And having their support and their understanding, it also forced them to communicate their schedules or things they needed to do with me in a timely manner, you know, in advance. I couldn't wait until the last minute to know about a football game or a meeting at the school or anything of that nature. Even with my parents, I had to explain what was going on, because if I fell short financially, I was going to need the support of my family, meaning my parents, to actually assist me with getting back on track. So for me, putting my family in the middle or in the beginning of what I was doing was a necessity. Without that support, I couldn't properly plan. I couldn't properly make things move in a manner that they needed to move. There had to be understanding, again, that comes with that. Starting my own company is and was my dream. And, again, it was planning. And a part of planning when you're starting your company is making sure your family understands what will be done, what can't be done, or what has to be modified to get things done.
Okay. And, Rodon, the same question to you.
Well, you know, Jametti, she's blessed, poetic.
Jametti, where they am. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I keep getting it wrong, but see, that's the West Coast craziness up here. I'm sorry. I mean no disrespect. I think I call her Miss Lady, and then that way hopefully she'll see that as being respectful, because Raw Dog just messes up names.
No,
isn't that right, Al?
I just wanted to correct you, my man. That's all. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have did that on the air. I probably should have did that later.
Yeah, well, you try to get a point up whenever you can get it.
Sorry, man, come on.
But you know what? You missed it. You missed something. And when you go back and you listen to this show, remember this little time factor, and you'll hear something in there.
Can you hear me well?
Huh?
Yes, I can now.
Can you hear me? Oh, you didn't hear me well before. Seriously?
No, but you missed hearing something I said.
Okay, go ahead.
I called you Al.
Oh, what are you talking about, Harold?
See, that's what he does. But see, I'm already screwing up on you. Anyway, getting back to it, this is Rod.
No big deal, buddy.
See, you guys, see, I heard Jannetty say she had a plan. Did I say the name right? Miss Lady. Okay. I heard Miss Lady say that she had a plan.
Nah, Jannetty.
And the thing about it is that, well, okay. But I heard parents were in that plan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is beautiful. But let's just talk about it. What if you didn't have your parents? How would your plan have changed? Because you can't have a plan and then have an emergency escape that you can bring into your plan, which is part of the plan too. But what if you don't have that?
I can honestly say if I didn't have parents who were living to support me or who could afford to support me, and when I speak of support, it could be an emotional, financial, whatever support. I have a select few friends that I can count on one hand. Before I make a move, I have people who advise me. Yes, I do business, but everybody, regardless of what you believe your educational height may be, if there's not a person who's smarter than you who can give you input, your circle is too small. I always have friends, in addition to my parents even, who support me in what I do. And if need be, my friends would be able to step in to give me the support that I needed, whether it be emotional, physical, or financial.
Okay. Relying on others to make your plan.
I don't see it as a teamwork effort.
But wait a minute.
I need team members. Will you be there to support me?
Okay, stop right where you're at. Jannetty, do you have brothers and sisters?
I do have brothers and sisters. I have brothers and I have a sister.
Okay. And Poetic, you have brothers and a sister, right?
I have brothers and a sister, yes.
Okay, now, I'm an only child. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was prepared to enter this world, and you don't look at a team, because the only one that can let you down is you. I hear what you're saying. I hear what each one of you are saying, but I gave you an analysis of yourselves. You have brothers, and you have a sister, you have moms, and you have dads.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What if you have to grow up at age 25? No parents? Hmm. You don't have that fallback, so you know what you do?
I disagree. Let me tell you something. Wait, listen.
Okay.
Sometimes you have biological brothers and sisters.
Let's go like this.
Listen to me. Sometimes you create a family outside of that family. And they become family.
Listen to me.
What?
Right. See, you're the strength of oneself and God.
Mm-hmm.
You make one plan. You make two plans. You make three plans.
Mm-hmm.
You, in those plans, everything that you do, you make sure that you're working towards obtaining assets. See, there's your fallback. Something that's worth something. So that if necessary, you will have a plan to fall back on, not people. Okay? You make a plan that you're skillful.
I don't disagree with you.
But
your plan works because you got things that you can fall back on and it works, And then on the other side, Jametti's plan, because she got family that she can fall back and they can help her too. And the whole big dream come together. So I think the big dream still came together.
Well, and my thing is, and let me make the correction here. I have not had to depend on the financial aspect. It's the support mental. When you feel like, okay, I've worked hard enough, you may need that person to say, hey, you know, Jametti, you've worked hard enough to get to where you are, but you need to work a little harder to get to that next point. So support can be emotional support to keep you strong.
That's a coach. That's
the financial part I'm good with. No man can enter anything without having at least one person who supports him for that. I mean, and if you do, hey, you know, more power to you. But for me, I need to have somebody. Now, if I started this business when I met Poetic, I would have said, Poetic, this is what I'm thinking about doing. This is how I'm going to get it done. What is your opinion? That's support. I got somebody I can talk to who I can respect and know that this person is not going to try to run with my idea, but he is support. I have someone, if I say, hey, I got to leave my family, but I need to go out of town to take care of a client, but I need to make sure that somebody is going to be able to transport my kid, that's support. It doesn't always have to be financial. I needed support. I'm a single mom who raised two boys. I needed the support to help if I had to leave to go see a client or if I had to travel halfway across the world to take care of something.
And, Ronald, you don't see
I
that?
Have someone here who can support me in my home obligation. I have someone I can depend on to make sure that that my home doesn't crumble because I'm gone for 45 days.
And I love Miss Lady. I love Miss Lady. You are blessed.
She didn't bring you back to
me. And
I
know why
you're
so close to God. I really do. I can appreciate it. I can appreciate it. I can appreciate it. Oh, now you want me to throw the gasoline out there and quit the match, right?
I know there's some gasoline in the match somewhere.
You got
I have
to make
it already.
Have you ever heard this phrase? One monkey don't stop my show. Have you ever heard that phrase?
Yes, I have.
I've lived that in the past few years.
Okay. So check. One person out in the world with multiple plans. Plan A don't work, plan B will work, plan C will work. Listen, I'm saying this to you. You remember that phrase, a jack of all trades but a master of none?
Mm-hmm.
Those are survival kits. I hear a lot of relying on other people. I do. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not the way I walk. There's a difference in people. There are different survival tactics. I'm not charismatic. I'm not a brown noser. I tell you like it is. And guess what? And guess what? And then I'll go home. Why?
Right out.
Yes?
Right out. I'm going to
say what? Wait.
First, I'm gonna get Glenn's opinion because he done raised his hand. So I want to see what Glenn has to say because he got something to say here before I change gears on you. Glenn, welcome to Hip Hop National, man. Where you calling in from, Glenn?
I'm calling in from Detroit, Michigan. How you guys doing tonight?
Hello, Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, everybody. I've been listening and to this very interesting topic, Raw Dog, boy. I think that Raw Dog is, and don't anybody take this the wrong way, because he's all right with me, but I think Raw Dog is the typical American single child. And what I mean by that is he was born into the world alone and was raised up pretty much without siblings. So it's a unique situation to be an only child, and it's also a unique situation to be a child that has support. I have to agree with the young lady that we all need a support system. Some of us are just not fortunate enough to get one. And I think that Raw Dog is, while being a little heavy-handed, if you will,
why do you laugh on that one, Glenn?
Well, because I understand, because for a good portion of my life, I was an only child.
All right.
Until I found out that my father had other children.
Okay.
And I can remember being, with all of the controversy that it caused in our household, I could remember being elated that I had brothers and sisters. And I really didn't care who their mamas were. I was elated at the fact that now I felt like I wasn't alone anymore. But with that being said, so I've kind of like seen both sides of the fence. But, Raw Dog, if you, and I mean, you know, a brother or a sister could be anybody. It's, you know, because we got kin folks that ain't our brothers and sisters. They just happen to be kin.
Well,
but when you meet someone or someone comes into your life and they want to help you because they love you and they want to see you succeed, there's no greater feeling on the planet, in my opinion.
Perfect example, Glenn. Raw Dog is one of those people.
Yeah.
Raw Dog is one of those people. That's where I was going to go next, right what you just said.
Oh, he tried to pull from out
one of those
in front
people,
of the bus.
One of those people who's he's one of those people who's actually a brother that, you know, he said that, you know, he's the only child, but he connected with me. And man, you don't understand how this man goes through hoops to help me do what I'm doing. And then, yes, I do. He's on deck too. And then he sees that at times he needs my support for the show that they do on Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. We kind of fall and help each other. That's how it works.
And
well,
it amazes me, the greatness that comes from Poetic.
When I was a younger man, Poetic, I didn't even understand what the term mentor was, and I thought that it would make me a weak man to even felt like I had a hero or a mentor in my life. But my mentor to this day, I can honestly say that he's been a brother, a father, a friend. He's been all of these things to me, this one man who has taught me this record industry.
Al Bell.
And, yes. And when this guy talks, it's like E.F. Hutton to me.
Can you remember?
Because he knows how to communicate and get me to be the best that I can be. And I think that we all, at some point in our life, should be so fortunate as to have a mentor. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same way when sometimes when we're on the show and these young guys get on the phone and they be going all off and they just don't get it. Well, that's because they don't have any mentors.
And believe me, when I tell you like this, I give this man a hard time, but he don't understand how much I really respect him as a human being. And I look just probably like a child to him because I'm young enough to be his child.
Yeah.
But I look to his advice because I think the guy is heroic at times. So don't get a big head. Bring it down, brother. Bring it down.
Me get a big hand.
What? But you know, it's a cold, cold world, and I understand how people, you know, it's hard to trust in this day and time. It's hard to open yourself up in business to other people. But the truth of the matter, the fact of the matter is, you can't be a successful business person without people. It's just really that simple. You know, I used to feel like, man, forget that. I'll do it myself. But the bottom line is, you can't be successful in business without people. People is what drives business.
A championship is won without the team.
Exactly.
If it's okay, may I comment on what Glenn just said? Yeah. And Glenn, I know that all too well, because when I initially started out in business, I thought I could do it all myself. But I quickly mm-hmm. learned that trying to do it all myself held me in the same place. And as mm-hmm. I learned and became more mature in business and mature in life and spirit, I learned that I had to have a support system. And that support system took me into places that it probably would have taken me 20-odd years to get. And they introduced me to people that I may have never met had I continued to try and do it all myself, or it would not have been so easy to meet those individuals.
Yes, I understand. I understand. And when I started out in the music business, you know, I was very aggressive and thought I knew it all. And the bad part of it is that I found success right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I found success in terms of selling a record, but I didn't understand how I got to that point. It's just something that the Lord blessed me with, and it went through my head, and I went crazy, and I said, "Oh man, I got this. I'm mm-hmm. the best that ever did it," you know. But as I grew in the business and started to understand business, I found out very quickly that those successes would be few and far between, because people didn't want to do business with me because of my aggressiveness. And a man came into my life and said, "Hey, my man, I'm going to teach you. You got all of the talents, but I'm going to teach you how to maneuver in this business and get what you want out of respect." But we all have to grow and learn.
That takes me to the next point, and we're going to definitely speak about that when we return. Social obligation. Is it a responsibility once we come to that success, that peak of the dream, that we take responsibility and have some kind of obligation socially so people will continue to want to do business with us? Because if we don't handle our business right, then people are not going to want to do business with us. When we come back, let's talk about that. You listen to Hip Hop National Radio. Right now, we're talking about the dream versus your obligation. Stay tuned and see what's on the other side. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion? Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3 today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
Hip Hop National is now hiring interns and salespeople. Call us today at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555 for more details.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy, Poet. The dream versus your obligation. Let's say if it is part of your dream, let us help you. Let us help you. Go to www.hiphopnational.com. Upload your music now. We want to help you take your music to the next level. Okay? So back to the topic. I got Glenn on with me. Glenn, I want to ask you, as I was going, leading from you, based on what you just said, is it part of our responsibility as an obligation to the people that we're doing business with to stay socially responsible so that we can continue doing business? You now have the floor.
I would say that it is our responsibility. It's not just part of our responsibility. I would say that it is our responsibility because, you know, we have a history of people not taking us serious in business. And some of that is warranted and some of it is unwarranted. But if we don't learn how to do business with other people and other cultures, then they can't understand us. They can just go by the stereotypes that have been placed upon us. You know, I've learned in these 28 years of being in the record business that I've had to do business with people from all walks of life. I've even had to do business with people that I couldn't understand them and they couldn't understand me. But we both understood that we wanted to make money and keep making money. So I, in my opinion, yes, it's part of our responsibility. Yes.
Right off.
Well, you know, hey, I go along with Glenn on that. You know,
you pass it to Jametti. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You pass it to Jametti. Go for it.
Okay.
I said when he's done, he's gonna pass it to you. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Hey, right off.
Oh, what's happening with Poetic tonight? Okay, the thing about it is that, you know, business, making money, it's necessary. I mean, you know, yeah, that's that old phrase, cut your nose off to spite your face. No, you're to make money, you're going to do business, you're going to have to do what's necessary in making that money in the social aspect. So, yeah, you know, a quiet mouth doesn't get fed. You've got to be able to, you know, communicate, you know, and work to getting an agreement and dealing with, you know, getting the music placed and what have you. So, sure. Now, Jeanette, you can have it.
Okay. When I heard social responsibility, I think I was thinking a little bit different than what you, the cultural aspect of it. I thought more so of if you have a business, do you have a social responsibility to those people around you? And did I misunderstand that?
No, you're on point. Go ahead.
To have a for-profit company, you have to have a social responsibility to the people around you. You have to have some type of gifting around you in order for your for-profit or your corporation to be successful. If you're holding it all to yourself and you're just trying to make more money and you're not taking care of the social responsibility of feeding or helping out in your community, I don't believe that your business can be totally successful. You haven't fulfilled all the requirements of being a total entrepreneur.
Well, that's part of the package, what you were saying too. But I mean, in which I was leading, but in touch bases on it too, is even the people you're doing business with. You know, let's say you got a contract with someone, okay? Just giving you guys an example. I started off as one image in this business. Let's just say a Miley Cyrus in Disney, okay? I started off in this character here, and then as soon as fame hits the peak, and I say, wow, it's time for me to change up. How about the people you're doing business? Is it ethically correct to just switch up on them without, and that's not the model that they invested in? Let's just say that. Is it ethically correct for me to change up business without some kind of taking some responsibility of sitting down with the people that I'm doing business with and say, this is the strategy in which I want to take upon next?
Okay. You mean you're flipping the script on the contract?
No, it didn't say it was on. It's not necessarily in the contract. It's just what they invested in, what they personally invested in. Even if they didn't say it in the contract, should it be a part of your business model to switch gears on somebody just like that, ethically?
Are you going to continue also with the components that you had in the contract that you are obligated to fulfill?
I'm just giving you a prime example that's in the limelight right now. I don't know what the obligation was contractually. I'm just talking
about... Man down, he's under the bus.
No, listen to me. I'm giving you
no,
two
you've
characters.
No, you confused us. That's why we're having a hard time with this. We don't know if you're saying contractually you have an agreement with someone that's invested behind that contract and you're switching up how you want to fulfill that contract with them, or are you saying you're changing from being a hip-hop artist to now becoming a minister, and you're letting them know you're changing your direction in life? Which one of those two are you speaking on?
Actually,
that's where we're confused.
Okay, my apology, but actually you said kind of what I'm saying anyway, Rodolph. A person that when you're in business with them and they switch gears on you because all of a sudden other things change in their life.
Are you making money in an investment and you're leaving that obligation and not fulfilling that contract? In other words, you've closed one chapter and you've made another decision, or you still got that chapter open and you're not fulfilling your agreement with them, and you're going in another direction. In other words, could you wind up in court behind what you're doing?
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess you can. Okay, never mind. I'll meet you guys.
Yeah, because that's how we were confused.
Yeah,
you know,
you
gave a scenario like P. Diddy and Nas.
Mm-hmm.
See, Nas wanted to go into the ministry, the church.
It wasn't Nas. It was Mace.
Okay, excuse me. Let's use a
close to home type situation. Poetic, if I came to you and I said, Poetic, I'm really willing to write about rap, R&B, whatever for you, and we have no contract. And in the middle, my spirit starts dealing with me, and I say, you know what? I know I told you I'd do this for you for a year, two, whatever the case may be. However, my spirit's dealing with me, and I can no longer do it. I think my moral responsibility would be to find a replacement for myself and have someone fulfill the stated, even though not in written form, contract to fulfilled the obligation that I had to you, because your business depends on what I said I would do. And just because my spirit dealt with me, for me to just walk away and just say, hey, you know, I'll continue to do this for you, but you know, I have to do it about gospel.
And
that
Glenn,
may conflict.
I'm going to ask Glenn this because Glenn has he's been in the entertainment field, just like the Mace thing. It switched gears on. He switched gears on Puffy. That's basically where I'm at. And what she just said, is there a – could anything take place if it was just a verbal agreement that we go into this business, but you didn't put anything in the contract that I couldn't change it? I couldn't change it. I mean, because
well,
really it was one of those things that no one saw coming when Mace did it.
Well, here's the thing, and this is actually why the United States of America has separation of church and state. Contractually on that level, Mace should have fulfilled his contract, period. However, sometimes in business, you know, we both understand what the contract entails. But sometimes it's just more feasible from a financial standpoint to just say, you know what, you take your marbles and go home, and I'm going to take mine and go home. And I think that's kind of what happened in that case. But traditionally, you pretty much have to honor what you sign. And, I mean, you can't walk up in a court of law and expect a judge or a jury to understand that you did a deal with someone and you had a premonition from God that told you that you couldn't fulfill that obligation and the court's going to side with you. It's just not the way things work in business. But generally,
you know, there's a loophole to that, don't you?
Well, there's a loophole to everything. But I'm saying traditionally.
Well, no, you're right.
Yeah, traditionally, when you sign a contract with an individual or a company, you pretty much are going to have to live up to your obligation or pay some kind of loss. You know, that's just the way America works.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know how you get out of that. You know how they can't get a dime. You give everything
well,
to the church.
Yeah, but see, you can't give the church something that doesn't belong to you.
Okay,
see,
but if you had a house that was paid for and you had money in the bank and you didn't and you decided that you didn't want to fulfill that contract, all you'd have to do is donate and give everything to the church.
Well,
the church
yeah,
is yours.
You could donate and give away anything that you want, but that doesn't mean that the courts are not going to find you liable.
Well, yeah, but then you can't collect on something if there's no assets.
Well,
and if it was not specifically stated in your contract, if it was not specifically stated that the change could not occur as a result of that, they're not forced. But the moral responsibility, I believe in that instance, and I'm sorry for interrupting you guys, is that and I'm just saying P. Diddy because I don't know all the things that occurred around that situation. P. Diddy took the higher road, and his moral responsibility was to allow this man to walk in the way that he felt God wanted him to walk. And as a result, because he did not fight God, which he would have essentially been doing if Mays truly was asked to do that by God, he would have been fighting God, not Mays.
Okay.
So he took the moral responsibility.
Let me tell you from a financial collector, which was one of my experiences as being out here in the business world. I was a financial collector. And I found that a lot of people that decide to not fulfill their obligations will create a religious cover, and all of their assets will be donated to that. And one of the laws in the United States is that even in federal court, you cannot seize assets from a religious organization. So, there are a few people in the music industry that we've known have gone into the church. And we have to ask ourselves, what were their obligations and why did they give everything to the church?
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying. However, you need to understand that in a lot of cases, when a lawsuit is filed, the assets are frozen before
okay,
we
but
ever
if you do the plan before the lawsuit. The plan is already enacted, and the lawsuit comes after a period of time.
Well,
a smart man
he,
doesn't tell what he's going to do until after he's set it up right to do it.
Well, if the Lord truthfully told this man that he needed to go in a different direction, if that in fact happened, I'm sure that the Lord didn't put it on his heart to start trying to beat people out of their money and move assets around so they couldn't get them. He just, you know,
oh, okay.
when
wait,
the Lord
wait,
tells
did,
you
did,
to do something,
have
he
you
just,
been
you just go
the
do
pastors
it.
Pastors of L.A.?
Well,
that's not really.
The pastors of L.A. is a crock of, you know, I'm the first man alive to did a record on Dietrich Patty, okay? I recorded the first album on Dietrich Patty, okay?
Okay.
And I can tell you personally on this call, on this show tonight, that ain't near about what it's supposed to be, okay?
Okay.
Now, back to the contracts and Mace and the court. you have to understand something. Puffy is up under a contract also. He's not the parent company. So even if Puffy feels like, hey, you know what, this man says that he needs to do a certain thing because his God told him to do it. And he may want to take the high road. But let me tell you something about people at Warner and Sony and Weir. They don't care nothing about the high road or what God told you.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you remember, Mace actually came back to the label.
Yeah, he did.
He just came back unsuccessfully.
Right.
So, you know, it's a very thin line, especially in the entertainment industry, because these contracts that we sign are so one-sided and so against us that when you go into their courts, because that's whose courts they are, because some of these same people that sit on these benches, well, they may have stock in Warner.
Oh, yeah.
They may have, you know what I'm saying? So it gets very, very deep. But traditionally, again, 9 times out of 10, when you come to somebody and say, hey, I don't feel good about what I'm doing, I need to take a different direction, they're pretty much going to say, well, you know what? You need to go up to legal affairs and tell them that. And that's how that goes down.
Exactly. And
exactly
legal affairs
like
will
that.
Tell them, we have a contract, fulfill it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't fulfill it, and even, and you know, when you made the statement that, you know, if a person cannot cause an action against the church, well, the biggest church in the world was sued successfully. That was the Catholic Church. When they were sued for them pastors messing with those little boys, and they
well,
paid
but
out
you
millions
remember,
and
they
millions of
settled.
Dollars.
They didn't go into the initial having to collect it. They settled rather than going through that big hearing. They settled the lawsuit. But it
yeah,
couldn't
but
be
you,
collected
you,
because the Vatican is in Rome. Supreme
yeah,
Court
you,
is in the United States.
Yeah, but you have to understand something. The Vatican and the Catholic Church is a corporation, and they're operating all over the world. So they have to be registered as a corporation in America as well, and they have to go under the laws of the United States.
Are you sure that they're a corporation and not a religion?
Absolutely they are a corporation. Yes.
They go under the religion doctrine. They may go
under the religious doctrine, but they are a huge corporation, as a matter of fact. You know, they own properties and everything.
The church owns the property.
Yeah, the church owns. But see, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. The only way that you can settle a lawsuit is that an action has been filed. You can't
right.
settle without an action being filed. So they settled so they wouldn't have to go in court. But the only institution that I know of that you can't just outright take legal action against is the government.
Okay.
That's the only person that I know of.
Yeah. Okay. They're working in the financial institutions. That was one thing that they taught us is that there is a statute when it comes to being able to file suit against a church. Now, you know, I don't know how they did that, is it because that the priests and what have you don't get a salary, that they are living within the church confinement compounds and what have you, that they bring in revenue, but they're not entitled to it per se as a salary. They have given and donated their lives to the church. I think the reason that the Catholics paid that money is to squash all of that in the media, because what they did was they proved that the church knew about it, but they just rotated those priests to other areas. Even though they might have taken a suit up in the courts, that was one that the church decided that they had evidence that would put a blemish on the church, but it wasn't collectible. That's
but what
just
you,
like
what
O.J. Simpson moving from California to Florida. Why? Because they could not attach his income for the lawsuit that was filed in California by the Goldmans. Goldmans, I believe that's their last name. Over the wrongful death.
Well,
he was living a good life in Florida, and they couldn't touch his money.
Well, they couldn't touch his money because it was a pension. See, they can touch anything that he would have made outside of his pension. See, nowhere in America can you take a man's primary residence, or say if a guy has one vehicle. You can't take his one vehicle. But if you remember,
you got to move to Washington State because that's not true.
Well,
they
I don't want to. If that's not true,
vehicle.
I don't want to live in Washington State.
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, that's a state.
I was a financial person, I told somebody empty up the refrigerator and shine it up. We were coming to get it. So, you know, I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying. Now, you know why I know about Florida is that my firm had a case against Bob Hope, and he had borrowed money from a financial institution, but we couldn't touch him because he resided in the state of Florida. Now, Poetic, can they attach wages in Florida?
Ask your Manny that question. She's a financial.
No, you know what? It used to be the law that you couldn't.
Because I don't know.
Is genetic?
Well, I think we got a little deep with it, but
wait. When you say could they touch wages, you mean could they garnish wages?
And assets in Florida.
I know they can garnish wages, but the government can
assets do have a little different. The statutes protect certain assets in the state of Florida, yes. Just as they protect certain assets, not quite as well as they do in California or Nevada.
They protect your home, but they will take your wages.
Okay, so they can't take your home.
The government,
and they may protect it from other people, but the state itself can take everything away from you.
Okay, so the state can do that, but not an individual agency can come and impose that.
You know what? And I think that's probably a topic to be tabled because I'm not 100% certain, but I can find out for you.
Okay.
Well, you know,
we're off the subject now.
Yeah, it's a little bit deep, but you know, traditionally, when you breach a contract and a person can prove that you breached it, I mean, you're gonna have to pay. Period.
Well, that's true.
The question is it a breach if it had never been discussed? If it's not written in the contract that I had to stay within the I had to stay as an R&B artist and I cannot switch up to being a rapper.
That is where you may get away with that. Is because if you did not specify what you had to sing or what you had to perform for this person, they cannot force you to do R&B. And that's why when I talk to people about contracts, and I think you and I had this discussion, Poetic, I make sure they understand what is written in that contract and what their obligations are to me based on the contract.
Right.
Well, you all need to understand that the label traditionally has first right of refusal. And let's say that you're a rap artist, and now the company wants you to become a singer. Well, there's ways to get you to become a singer without telling you about to sing. And
but
that's how
I'm
it works in this industry.
Suppose I'm not a singer.
Well, guess what?
Lil
Wayne ain't a singer, and he did, what's that song?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
The love song he did?
Yeah.
So, you know, in other words, what I'm saying without saying too much on the show is that they have ways of getting what they want. Okay? I'll just put it like that.
Exactly.
Well, actually, guys, I got to tell you, I'm glad the topic went there because I learned something in these last 15, 20 minutes. Even though I made a mistake how I approached it, but I wonder what I got from it is about the obligation if it was a switch, like with the May situation. That May situation, that was, you know, it's something that. It kind of puzzled me that he was able to do that and get away with it. So, I mean,
but see now, guess what? We don't know if he got away with it.
Well, like Glenn said, maybe. I don't know which one of y'all said. Somebody took the higher road and just said, "Hey, I think it was Jannetty. He took the higher road and let him go away with it."
I just set up while we were still talking. I don't believe that happened. I decided to look that up while you guys were conversating, and there are some stories to refute that. So, you know,
that he got away with it.
Yeah, that he was allowed to just back out of the contract without ramifications.
Right. I think that's why he came back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, okay. You know, you don't know the story until you know the story, and then there's still parts you're not going to know.
Exactly.
So don't believe all the hype, Poetic.
I'm going to just say, I know the story, and believe me, it didn't work out too good for Mace, okay?
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I read, that's true.
right. So there's no walk away and not fulfilling a contractual obligation without having something to pay and a process to go through. So if you sign on the dotted line, follow through.
And that way you can reach the dream. And final note.
Well, and don't be so fast to sign on the dotted line.
Right.
Exactly. Truth of the matter is, and this is what I'll say about contracts, because if I write a contract, that contract is going to be in favor of me because I'm not going to take a loss. But I'm fair in explaining what's in the contract. Not everybody does that. That's why it's important for the other side to also have their contract and their contract attorney to review things such as this. But a lot of people try to get by on the cost and just do these fly-by-night online attorney to review contracts, which doesn't work very well.
Well, see, what most people don't understand in business is that if you're doing a business deal with a large corporation or a large entity, they're really in good faith aren't even supposed to negotiate with you as an individual without you getting an attorney.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know that.
But they sometimes, because, again, not all companies play fair.
Absolutely.
Well, that's true.
But that's one way to get out. See, because, you know, I don't know. In civil court, I don't know if it's the same statute that applies. Ignorance to the law is no excuse. But the difference with a contract is that a contract doesn't have to be based on law.
True.
So if a person negotiates with you in bad faith, then you can beat them easily. It's just
but
like these banks did these predatory loans on these houses.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they did business in bad faith. They knew it was a bad deal from the word go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's why those negligent and tort laws are out there to protect us, because if you can prove that the three elements to that tort of negligence, of, you know, bad faith, et cetera, then you have the higher road. But as a person probably with minimal income going into something like this, a lot of bigger corporations have more finances to exhaust versus a person having to try and say, okay, well, this happened, so I know this was this way and this was bad faith. This is why I say that. But, you know, big companies, they don't have to give in to that. They have more financial power than most ordinary people. That's why you fight that before you get to that point. You make sure that you understand every line, and if you don't understand it, you write your questions on paper and you ask, hey, you said this and this, and I need to understand this. Well, if that is what it means, can you write that specifically in my contract?
Well, you know what? You know what's funny? We just saw the movie TLC made, and they were offered their contract in a restaurant. You remember that scene where Faith Evans was supposed to have given them the contract in the restaurant? And there was no attorney for them. So, you know, when we talk about Tony Braxton's contract and we think about TLC's contract and then what Glenn said, that they would want you to have an attorney, we didn't see that in the movie.
Well, the reason that you didn't see that, Raw Dog, is because TLC never did have a deal with the label. They had a deal with Pebbles, and Pebbles had a deal with her husband, and her husband had a deal with the label.
That's right. You're right. That it did run that way, yeah, because in the end, they went to, I forget the big guy, and they were asking where their money was, and he said that he would see that they got it, but, you know.
You forgot who the big guy is?
So you're right on that. Okay, but see, I'm glad you explained that, because see, there was the contract being presented.
You forgot.
And, you know, if you don't know any better, then you think, okay, that was with the label, and it wasn't. It was with Faith Evans. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Thank you.
And that's the thing that these artists need to understand. See, you know, you can sign your life away and not really sign your life away.
Okay.
But you
Pebbles,
know what
in
else?
Other words,
you said it was Pebbles rather than Faith Evans. Pebbles.
Yeah, it was Pebbles.
They leave themselves in a position to not be able to negotiate because
right.
The parent company has the last say-so, period. It's their money. But from the artist standpoint, they don't have anything to fight with because if they're not a profit-making artist, well, the label will tell them, hey, go holler at your production company. I ain't did no deal with you.
Right. And that's exactly what we saw in the movie. He said, you'll get your money. I'll see why you haven't gotten it.
The first record deal that I had, I learned that, okay?
Okay.
I was jumping up and down and screaming, telling them what they better do and what they better give me, until they just really told me, Mr. Cannon, we don't even have no kind of deal with you. And I'm, you know, you know, you'd be baffled. You'd be like, what do you mean? We selling records. We doing this and we, yeah, but we don't have an agreement with you. We have an agreement with the production company that you are doing business with.
Right.
And that's why our contracts state this agreement is between this entity and that entity. And in the third paragraph, if I'm understanding correctly, with entertainment and in other business, in the second paragraph, it states that you understand that it is your responsibility to obtain an attorney to read or negotiate this contract for you.
Yep. Now, if you do a direct deal with the label, then the label is obligated to either supply you with counsel or pay for you to have counsel.
Right. Exactly.
But my question is, if they are paying for your counsel or supplying you with counsel, in this case, they can't have any direct communication with that counsel. Correct, because they are representing you in one way, and it'd be a conflict of interest in another way if they got an attorney that's signing.
Well, legally, no, they're not supposed to make any kind of conflicts. But in the music industry, well, everybody knows everybody. All the attorneys know each other. All of the label heads know each other. So, you know, that's just a crock, you know. You're going to end up with a lawyer that, after they do your deal, the lawyer and the person who signed you will be at dinner that night.
Right.
Oh, they do that all day in court.
Yeah, it's just the nature of the business.
The court system, everybody buddies, man. Hey, man, so how's that working with you?
They gonna go to dinner and talk about how they finna rape you.
Exactly.
That's what they gonna do.
Exactly. You know, and it even goes down to the small people, public defenders and the judge. You know, if you get a public defender, they're paid by the state or the city, and so's the judge. So they go to the same awards banquets. You know, so they communicate with each other. You know, well, how do you think so many plea bargains are there and they go wrong against the person? You know what I mean? So you're so right about that, Glenn, when you brought that up. And I'm glad you made those points because a lot of people don't know that if there's a production company that they're signing with and not the label, you know, and they need to know the difference. But, see, that's part of the educational process, you know. You learned after you got involved. And, you know, it took courage to tell that one.
Well, see, you know, that's why I love this show, because you know, if the young people would actually listen and open their minds up, you're getting information that it has cost me personally hundreds of thousands to learn. And I'm sure there's been other brothers on this show that are in that same or similar situation. And these folks ain't finna teach you nothing for free, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to go to college to get obtain this kind of knowledge. But they, you know, if they would listen with an open mind and ask questions, they would be ahead of the game. Because, see, they think in the hip-hop era, they think that something has changed. Well, the music industry has never changed, and it never will. The only thing that changes is the amount of money that they get versus what you get.
Right.
That's the only thing that changes in this industry. But they think that because they see Lil Wayne riding in a Bugatti, you know, that the world is just a beautiful place. But they don't understand that Lil Wayne can get up in the morning and they'll be there with trucks and moving vans and put all of that stuff on the truck and take it.
That's true.
That's the way this industry is. It's not what they want to believe, man.
Mm.
You ever notice how many major artists come to Florida to shoot their music videos? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
that's happening to you,
man. We got to listen here. I'm all ears.
Because Florida is one of the markets where you can readily rent anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And they don't understand that these boys don't own this stuff that they see in these videos. They just don't. They don't get it.
The jewelry, the cars,
the house, the mansions,
yep.
The boat, the yacht.
Tell me about it.
All the stuff. It makes it. It gives them the image and the persona of overly successful. But not necessarily.
Yeah.
They paid for that. It was rented.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And guess what you're going to see at the end of the year on your statement?
Okay.
The Rolls Royce that we rented for the video, the helicopter, the mansion. And you know what? We want that money. And you know what? Come to think of it, you still $600,000 in the hole. And if you don't give us a hit, see you later.
Well, you know what? Poetic was in a video, and he was the father, and him and his wife were putting their bags and going in on a trip.
That was not my wife in the video, but she was a wife too.
But you had a big mansion right there, and it was
a brand new
car.
Yeah, that was with Lil Bow Wow and Lil Twist in the song Lil Secret.
See? And we know you didn't live there.
I just wish that...
How you know that was not my house, man?
He told me.
I just wish that these kids, man, would pay attention to what's going on. And really make a concrete decision on whether this is something that they really want to be involved in. You know.
Let's bring in a caller real quick, Glenn, because we've got to out to 480-794. Please state your name and where you're calling in from.
And how you doing? This is Dove Kell. I'm actually calling on behalf of Team Fault Line, though, with Dove Mac, though. I'm just listening to the show, and I'm really liking what I'm hearing, though. I do definitely agree with you on that whole thing about there's a lot of cats out there that, you know, think that, you know, just a single is going to make you famous and big. I mean, it'll make you famous, but it definitely doesn't make you rich unless you know how to put your investments in the right spot, educating yourself with the contracts and everything, though I definitely agree.
All right. So, and then we have Nice Life also, 864-760, Nice Life. What are you calling it? Nightlife, what are you calling it from?
Hey, how y'all doing, brothers and sisters? I want to first say I'm calling from Anderson, South Carolina, and okay. I don't have too much to add because it was a little over my head. I haven't heard such talk in a very long time. But the only thing I can say is that, like the brother was saying, if a lot of young cats like my age will actually consider listening to people like you, we would be in a lot of better positions than we are now. Because a lot of us don't know, and a lot of what I thought I knew, I didn't know. And I just want to congratulate y'all and wish peace and blessings upon the show. And I'm going to promote the show because there's a lot of people that need to learn what y'all got to hear. And that's all I got to say, brothers.
All right.
I appreciate it, man.
All I ask you guys, if you guys will, join our Facebook groups. It's facebook.com/groups/HHN radio. And put that on the wall. Because people
I will.
Okay?
And, yes, sir.
And
God bless y'all.
Your name is Cal Connick.
Nightlife.
No, 480-9794. I know who you are, Nightlife.
Okay, I apologize.
That's okay. 480-794. What's your name?
My name is Dub Cal. What's going on, Nightlife?
What's up, Dub Cal?
Yeah, how you doing, man? I was going to say I was about to shout you out, but I was waiting for you to say something, though.
Yeah, I'm cool a bit, brother. I didn't know that was you.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hey, do me a favor, Nightlife. Share with
yes,
him
sir.
That link I shared with you, okay? So
yes, sir. I'm here having a few minutes.
Okay,
and
I appreciate it.
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. You know, your politeness and your courteous nature is going to take you so far. Don't ever lose that. I don't care what venture you decide to take on, don't ever lose that.
I worked hard on that homeless, ma'am. I prayed a lot. You know, I did a lot of self-seeking. I did a lot of time spent alone. And I witnessed a lot in these streets. And I know that knowledge is the key to everything. And I'm searching for it, you know. And thank God that there's people like you, people like Mr. Poetic, that's sharing this knowledge because a lot of us are not getting it. And we're going head first into things that we don't know nothing about. And then we wonder why we're not making it because we don't know how to make it. And then when we do have the know-how, we're deceived so easily.
Yeah.
And this knowledge, you know, is priceless because this is the key to getting your dreams is what y'all are speaking on. And I'm going to push that to the most of my ability to let people know in all of my groups and all of my friends to know that this is what you want to hear. So I mean, I applaud y'all. This was an amazing experience.
And I got to tell you like this, it's not me. It's a community here. Don't get me wrong. They say it takes a village to raise a child. We got
That's
Glenn
right.
on deck. We have Raw Dog on deck, which, okay, Raw Dog's still there. And
yep.
We have Jeremy. And we got Nightlife and we got Cal just all joined us. This is how it works, guys. We just spread the word, and we continue to spread the word. And we got others just listening. For those who just listen, learn to actively listen by raising your hand. We really appreciate that. All right.
And I will be joining this show as much as I can.
Glenn, you got final words?
Well, my final words is this. This young man on this phone is, he makes my heart smile. And he lets me know that there's, is still a chance for our young people. And I joined this radio show to talk to the young people who inspire or think that they inspire to be in the record industry because I believe in giving up knowledge and I believe in giving it up truthfully. And I'm glad that I joined the show tonight. That brother really made my heart smile.
Amen.
And that, yeah.
You made mine smile too, brother. And I won't lie to you. You really did.
And a lot of my groups, and I apologize, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. And a lot of my groups and a lot of my discussions, you know, I always base one thing off of if I can reach one, I've done my job. You know, even if I don't reach millions, if I can reach one, I've done my job. And I see y'all as seniors to me, so y'all have reached me, and thank you.
You're welcome,
because not
bro.
Every
That's
day
what we
is,
want to do.
I'm from the hood. I'm from the ghetto. So I don't hear talk like this every day. And to hear it inspires me to know that there's more that I can be doing. And there's more to my success than what I see every day. And that was key to me.
Amazing. You're amazing.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
You have me in fear.
Well, bless y'all. I got some
you have
more
done
to do.
An amazing thing.
Yes,
you have done what you said you were setting out to do. If you can reach one and teach one, and you know, I'm proud to be part of and here with you. I have to pat you on the back because miracles do happen, and you bring something and you give something and you ask for nothing. Great men do that, and I see you getting taller and bigger in this music industry because the one thing that a lot of people lack is respect.
Yes, sir.
And you have my respect, Poetic.
Thank you.
Wow.
That's
Thank
big,
you, Mr.
guys.
Poetic.
'Cause he always tells me I got the short man complex. Okay.
There it goes. Boy, I give it. You just want to take it away.
I want to thank you all for incredibly for coming in to take a part of this community so we can reach into this community. And I respect you all for really participating. And Nightlife would like to hear more from you. Definitely.
Yes, sir.
You can go to www.hiphopnational.com if you're trying to get into the music thing. Send us some music, let us hear it, and maybe we can share it among some friends as well. So,
yeah, definitely. But make sure it's radio clean now.
Radio clean.
Yes.
Radio clean.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, actually, I'll be submitting something. I'm going to talk to Mr. Poetic about a song I got called Hero. He might have heard it. And it's political. I've reached a level now that a lot of gangster rap I can't do because I've matured too far from it mentally. So I'm going to submit a track. It's called Hero, and it's political. It's about, you know, America's war, the war on the so-called, I would say, the holy war. That's what I would call it. You know, it deals with all those factors, dealing with the homeless, and I'm gonna submit that. And it's a very powerful track because it's speaking to a lot of people who have nothing, and a lot of young people in my generation, because my generation is the worst generation to ever face since slavery, what we've been facing. And now it's genocide, so a lot of my music now is trying to help people who've been through what I've been through. Or people who's going to go through it because I have lived a rough life. So I'm going to submit that track, and it's ready already, and I hope y'all enjoy it.
All right.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, guys. What station is bringing you the best tips and advice in the music business?
Hip
Hop National.
That's it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate
that.
Good night, everybody.
The show that won't let me compete.
God bless you. Watch yourself, Glenn.
Glenn, I love you, brother. But Glenn, I know you do vet radio.
Yeah, you know what? They keep bugging me to do a show like you do, and I said, no, my man in Florida got that. I can't step on that.
I love you, man.
Poetic, I just want to say, you have a torch with an ever-flowing flame. I just, oh, God. Yeah. You're just doing such great things, and I love it, and I thank you for allowing me to be a part of your panel.
Thank you, guys, very much. I appreciate it. Good night, everybody.
God bless you all.
Good night.
Good night.
HipHopNational.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio. Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.